Now, to show our gratitude, we're not going to be like the other guys and jerk you around and bullshit you. We're going to tell you the truth.
Shane Douglas is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
Queen of Extreme Francine.
And the franchise Shane Douglas. Well, you want the lowdown on professional wrestling, get it right here at this podcast, Extreme Three-Way Dance.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God. God.
Put out the word, Razi has emerged. Surge, most preferred from the verbs and words I finesse. Try your best to diagnose. When I host, you get to roast.
That's our connection. Welcome to the most extreme menage a trois violence you'll have experienced here on the Extreme Three Way Dance, covering the history of ECW. Myself, JT, Matt, and Jenny here. Audio and video simulcast. Audio on all podcast applications. Video right here on YouTube. If you're watching, thank you. Be sure to subscribe, leave us a like, comment, turn the notifications on too. Why not? Do it all because we have a lot of great content here. We are on the doorstep of WrestleMania this year, and we have had a lot of cool stuff building up to it. We're tracking the top 40 WrestleMania performers of all time. We're counting down every single WrestleMania match from 402 to 1 in short format. That's on our TikTok and our YouTube Shorts, Facebook, and Instagram Reels. Check that out. Of course, we're now previewing every single match heading into the big show. So a lot of cool stuff going on for WrestleMania, plus all of our standard content, many of which is simulcast on audio and video. But of course, some are only on each. So be sure to check out both so you don't miss a thing at the North-South Connection. All right, we are here. It is pay-per-view night, Living Dangerously 1999. We started our journey in February of 1994. We're in our March of 1999, which is crazy, Jenny, the journey we've been on. Jenny's journeys all the way here.
Jenny's journeys. You know, this journey is going to take me right to 2300 in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to head that way for Mania. I can't wait. And Maddie, you'll get to be there too.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Always wanted to go there, finally getting an opportunity to. So
I'm gonna cry. I'm just gonna say now it's gonna be very emotional for me.
It is definitely a really cool venue to be in. You absolutely feel some of the history when you're in there. I will say it doesn't, you'll see, like, they've renovated a lot, so it doesn't look
right
like you would expect when you see it. But it is cool. Like, they got some cool ECW tributes around, so it's a neat place for sure. One you got to check out while you're there.
Yep.
All right. So Living Dangerously has some interesting build. I mean, it was red hot for a bit. We kind of limped over, which we covered our last episode. It was the last 3 weeks of TV, which is kind of it's kind of limping into this. The stuff is still hot, but it was the way they went about it was interesting, and not in the best way. But we are here, and it's always exciting to be on a pay per view night. Living Dangerously 99, March 21st, from the Asbury Park Convention Hall, Asbury, New Jersey, home of the NW Arena. Steve Prazak is outside the building waiting for Taz. He walks up with the belt. Taz busts his balls. He says ECW tried to hide the fact that he busted his jaw in North Carolina a month ago, and he's coming for Sabu's jaw tonight like stink on shit. He'll leave the unified ECW and FTW champion. Prazak asks if that's too intense, and Taz says, that's my job, and Prazak, you're a schmuck. He and Sabu hate each other, and no other champions can beat him. Not a 50-year-old Ric Flair, not Steve Austin. He's a great entertainer and athlete, but he can't beat Taz. He would tap in a minute. My Via, Hogan, Mankind. It doesn't matter. He'll be the ECW and FTW champion tonight. Good promo, as always, Matt, by Taz to get the show rolling here.
Taz is right. Prazak is a schmuck.
He is a schmuck as schmuck he gets.
That's the most right he's ever been about anything, I think, is Taz. I like that they're really playing up this jaw thing now, and Taz is going to be on his jaw like stink on shit. So basically, he's going to rip Sabu's jaw off and then throw it into the water that was on the other side of where they were filming this from. So I look forward to seeing that in the main event with just Taz holding a jaw in his hand. That should be interesting.
I believe it might just come off in his hand. Yeah, that jaw is not really working out for poor Sabu. Also, did we know this was going to be a title unification match? I don't believe it had been mentioned previously.
I feel like they didn't mention it.
This has kind of been, I guess,
is assumed. Did we assume that was going to happen?
I mean, Taz already had unified them. And then he gave
right,
it
I'm away. Like...
Right.
Well, I guess he did. Did he lose that to Sabu before he beat Douglas? I forget the timeline now. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he pulled Sabu on.
That's right. Yeah, he could have unified him.
And we're okay with that. We feel like that's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So all right, we'll see where that goes for sure. I thought Taz really missed an opening here to get biblical with the jawbone of an ass. He could have called out for Sabu. That would have been a good little one. Joey's in the ring.
He don't read the Bible. Just
we all know how biblical Taz can be.
He's going biblical on his ass. He could have been taking a shot at Austin 3:16. Leviticus. Joey's in the ring. Leviticus says. Remember, Jonah got eaten by the whale, Cole. Jonah.
The parable of the Good Samaritan, Cole. Genesis.
Oh, God.
That
Deuteronomy
bitch.
Says Styles.
WWJD Cole.
The Book of Luke. Joey's in the ring. Crowd is hyped for a big night ahead. He says tonight they crown an undisputed heavyweight champion. There's no paid off judges at ringside, no predetermined draws, and Don King is barred from the building. So still leaning in on the Holyfield Lewis stuff. Mm-hmm. Joey says there can be only one recognized ECW champion. Taz and Sabu go for that crown. We get our opening animation. We head right to the ring as Super Crazy takes on Yoshihiro Tajiri. We haven't seen these guys in a bit now. I feel like we saw them nonstop.
Yep.
And then the last few episodes, they were nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. Time to end this rivalry, though. Let's get to it. Both men head out. The crowd's ready. Joey says the show sold out. Fans were turned away at the door. We start with some chain work and a reset as they feel each other out. Tajiri bridges through a test of strength into a tight Rana for two. Tajiri continues to roll through counters into a series of arm drag reversals into a stalemate. Crazy kicks away, walks into a handspring back elbow. Crazy comes out of a Rana with a hard right, but Tajiri flips him to the floor, meets him with a wild somersault plancha. Tajiri kicks away, nails Crazy with an acai moonsault. Tajiri throws Crazy back into the ring, but Crazy comes right back out with a sunset flip, some kicks on the ramp. Crazy hits a moonsault press, goes to the middle rope, but Tajiri pops up and takes him to the ramp with a head scissors. Crazy takes back over the ring with three moonsaults for two. Super Crazy hammers away, kicks him in the back, drop kicks him out of the tree of woe. Super Crazy nails a springboard moonsault for two. Tajiri slips out of fireman's carry into a sunset flip for two. Crazy slams Tajiri, but eats knees on a moonsault. Tajiri cuts him down with a hard kick. Tajiri puts Crazy in the tree of woe, mauls him with a baseball slide for two, lays into him with more kicks and a drop kick for a near fall. Crazy comes back with a sunset flip, but he slips off the top rope on a springboard and bangs to the mat. Joey says it's raining hard outside and the arena floor is slippery. Taz hooks a full Nelson, but Crazy goes low, hits a sit-out powerbomb for two. Tajiri counters another powerbomb with a DDT that was very awkwardly executed. Tajiri gets a Rana. Crazy rolls through for a sunset flip and the win. And Crazy looks a little aggravated as he leaves, so I don't think he was super happy with this Super Crazy performance. This started hot. I thought it kind of sputtered late with the botches and the finish. Crazy wins the feud. It was an epic one. I think it's time to mix them up, though. I was going to keep doing his level, trying to level up, and I think it's putting too much pressure on them, and that leads to some of this botch stuff, and you could tell again. I don't know if it was the slippery floor or what, but Crazy clearly was aggravated after the match. The crowd was digging it. I think it was a step back from their best stuff, so I went 3.25, Matt. You know, we've seen better out of them for sure. And I think it's just time to give it a break and let them try and do something else.
Yeah. I mean, I only went 3 on it. It was still really good, but like you kind of alluded to, there was a sloppiness to this match that the other matches didn't really have. And I feel like at this point, again, like you mentioned, it kind of feels like diminishing returns right now for these guys. So I think they need to kind of split away from each other for a bit. And then, you know, if you want to revisit it down the line, then obviously you go ahead. But right now they've had like, what, 5 or 6 matches on TV at this point. So let's separate them for a bit. And like you said, too, Crazy absolutely knew that this match was probably comfortably the worst they've had on television. So, I mean, still good, but you could see he was definitely not happy with how this.
That's why I believe the wet floor thing, because that would make sense why he's mad. Was that because the floor is wet, he couldn't get good footing and he slipped a couple times? Like, that would make sense for him to be angry. So I think what Joey said is probably accurate, that this is like very, and they went into the crowd a little bit. So like, it was probably was just soaked on the floor.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is still a good match, but out of the 5 or 6 they've had, I think this is comfortably the worst. So 3 stars for me, Jenny.
Yeah, I did the 3.25. It was a step behind their other matches, but they tried to, it's a different match to their credit. It's not the same match that we've seen played out over and over again with different results. So, but they, I really liked the stuff they did on the ramp. That was very brutal looking. And the you fucked up chance kind of made me chuckle, even though that was kind of fucked up, but I kind of laughed. I know.
But I know it's like a love letter from some of these CW fans, but like I've never cared for it. It's always driven me nuts.
Mm-hmm. And good on Joey for giving us, you know, the floor is slippery excuse. God knows it's not just rain probably in that building.
Nope.
to slip around on. So yeah, I'm eager to see them mix it up with different opponents, but this was still a really good match.
All right, Van Damme, Sabu, and Fonzie are backstage ranting about Taz, and now Sabu is 100%, and Fonzie says if he gets hurt, he'll tape and glue him back together. RVD says it's a big night for Sabu because he gets to watch RVD defend the TV title. And of course, he does his usual ball busting. Just great stuff as always from them. We go back to the ring where Steve Corino is awaiting. He says he doesn't need steroids or to wrestle in foreign lands. What he wants is for someone to come from the back to come out so he can show how aerial he is and show the losers just how hardcore he is. And of course, out comes Rotten Balls to answer our challenge. And that brings us to our match of Balls Mahoney versus Steve Corino. Balls bangs into the ring, peppers away at Corino. He stomps away, lands a clothesline, whiffs out a second. Corino sells it anyway. Balls misses a spin kick. He tumbles outside. Corino meets him with a baseball slide, but Balls catches him on a pescado, and Axel cuts him down. Back inside, Balls slams into Corino, heads up top for a frog splash for 2. Balls unloads on the ref and then heads back up, misses a leg drop. Corino hits a leg lariat, grabs a chair, and lines up. But instead, he opens the chair and sits on it and hooks a chin lock, which I thought was pretty funny. Balls stands up out of the hold, hits a super kick, and then empties all over Corino with a vicious shot. And that is that. Whatever match. I mean, the fans are just conditioned to the chair stuff with Balls, and that's all they wanted to see. Corino's gimmick has some potential as a modern kind of Cactus Jack shtick from the end of his run where he was doing the anti-hardcore, but it was a little clunky until the good finish with the fake chair stuff and then Balls with the finish. So showcase of Balls. We're kind of easing into Corino. I think right now for me, like, Corino is in like late 94 Stevie Richards, where he's kind of
a little bit
like, you know, marching toward this gimmick that's going to get him to the next level. But right now he's kind of presented as like an enhancement guy. So I want a star and a half, Jenny. Again, it's just kind of a balls fest more than anything else.
Well, I love a good balls fest. You know that. So I did the 2 stars, and I like this as a way to get New Jersey's own Balls Mahoney on the card in Asbury. Mm-hmm. So it's not, he wasn't doing much else. So I really kind of like this to showcase him, to let him have his moment there. And Corino, you know, is a little kind of spunky guy. I think there's a spot for him doing this this little thing he's got going on. So I didn't mind it at all, Maddie.
This was fine for what it was. I went a star and a half, like Jenny said. This was purely done basically to get the hometown boy on the show, which is fine. I mean, and it was harmless. It was like, what, 3 minutes long, if that. So, I mean, it was totally fine. I mean, you could make the argument that this wasn't necessarily a thing that should have been on pay-per-view, but it was 3 minutes long. Who cares? So it was fine. So star and a half.
All right, we got a video package highlighting the Dudley's run of violence. And that brings us to our next match featuring, of course, Little Guido. Well, the Italian lesson of the week was put to rest a few episodes back. We now have the Italian tradition of the week. And today's Italian tradition or feature of Italian culture is the Malacchio.
The Malacchio.
Wow, oh. The Malacchio.
Do we know the Malacchio?
Malacchio.
I feel like this is one I thought maybe you'd know.
That was the dance craze from like 96, right?
I was going to say, is it a dance?
It is not. Okay. It is not. Many of our Italian relatives believe in superstition, and one of the most popular superstitions is the Malacchio, mal meaning bad, and occhio meaning eye or the evil eye. It's a look that one person gives to another if they're jealous or envious. An evil eye is not necessarily malicious. It's simply a look that brings misfortune. The Malacchio is an ancient belief in Italian folklore, also known as evil eye. The concept is also present in other cultures, such as ancient Greece. In Italian, the evil eye in Sicily, giving someone the Malacchio is a serious accusation that can have dire consequences for the accused. It's believed that a person can give someone the Malacchio intentionally or unintentionally, and it's said to be a curse that causes misfortune, may someone give me the Malacchio, misfortune, illness, or bad luck, and is afflicted by someone with envious or jealous hearts. Some believe that the evil eye comes from the devil, but according to folklore, again, you're just trying to cause harm. Perhaps physical pain, such as head or stomach ache, or any kind of misfortune. There are ways to prevent yourself from being cursed with the Malacchio. The various ways to protect yourself are carrying amulets, reciting prayers, or performing rituals. In Sicily, the Malacchio prayer is said to provide protection against the curse. A trusted individual recites the prayer, often a grandmother or elder. It involves using gestures and reciting verses from the Bible, my favorite thing in the world. So have you ever placed a Malacchio on anyone?
Someone with an evil and jealous heart. I feel like I should learn this skill. I'm not sure how you do it. Like,
maybe to take a trip to the motherland to really.
Do you have an example, perhaps?
Sophia on the Golden Girls. This is, I think, it's a pretty infamous episode where I believe she does give the Malacchio, and someone who does experience misfortune, and she has to lift the Malacchio.
How can you tell if someone has given you the Malacchio?
Right. Is there like a Malacchio stare or something?
So I think it's a little bit like the Larry David, you know.
Oh,
the island, right. A little bit like that. But I think it's just, you know, it's just, I think it's passed down from generation to generation in Sicily. So I'll say this: when you get the Malacchio, you'll know.
So is there a way to, like, once you have the Malacchio, you can get rid of it?
You can be protected through prayer and amulet and rosary.
Burn a goat on a pentagram or something. Yeah.
I don't believe in this situation that would help. No.
Well, maybe for you it wouldn't.
Did your grandparents like warn you against this, or is this, do you have a personal experience?
No, not too much. I mean, I remember being talked about, like, my grandmother, my dad's side was definitely much more of like the Italian ways. So for sure, like I definitely remember her cursing people. I don't remember specifically if it was done via the Malacchio or not, but I definitely remember her getting mad. I mean, my great grandmother was pretty much off the boat. Like she didn't speak English. So we used to go visit her in the nursing home. I don't remember her giving me the Malacchio, but she did think my name was Chester because she couldn't say Justin. She went, Chester.
Wow.
That's all she could say in English. Chester.
Chester.
So there you go.
Chester Malacchio. So, that's your new name.
That's my job name.
Amazing.
I'm sure Rocco, when he hears this, will have some good Malacchio stories.
Rocco Malacchio.
You beat me to it. I was just about to say it.
All right, our next match is Little Guido taking on, also of Sicilian descent, I believe, Antifaz del Norte. Guido rides out on Sal's shoulders, which is an amazing entrance. Light FBI crew, just these two guys. We get a quick chain sequence, ends with Guido targeting the back, grabbing a near fall, twisting into a cross arm breaker. We reset clean. Del Norte heats up and drives Guido outside with a dropkick, meets him with a corkscrew plancha. Del Norte comes back inside with a springboard sunset flip for two. Guido counters with a Rana with a powerbomb for two. Guido stomps away. The fans are calling for Smothers, but Guido yells that he isn't coming. Joey says the FBI broke up at the arena as Tracy Smothers finally had enough and attacked little Guido to bring an end of an era. Del Norte chops back with into things with a gourd buster for two, works on the back, goes to the middle rope, but he's slow, so Guido takes him down with a side Russian leg sweep. We get more Smothers chants in the crowd as Del Norte gets two on a side slam, goes to a sleeper. Guido hits a jawbreaker and a clothesline for two. We get some boring chants as Guido works the midsection. Antifaz comes back with a somersault senton, gets a leg lariat. Guido tumbles to the floor. Antifaz flies into Sal with a pescado, but Sal catches him, power slams him through a table in a great spot. Sal shoots Del Norte back inside. Guido hits a Sicilian slice and a Sicilian crab for the win. Out comes Smothers and Rich. They all argue until Tracy decks Guido. Sal backs them off. They attack him, but Sal gets pissed and runs them off as Joey says, we've seen the end of the FBI, sadly. Fun little match. The crowd is spotty, but fuck them. Give them the Malakia. As amazing as the FBI has been, though, I like this refocus of Guido into a worker. Sal's a good muscle, so I like this new version for the new year. As much as the other FBI was iconic, but they had really been going for, you know, a good like 4 years now. So I think it was time for a little bit of a change. You know, we'll see if some others and Rich stick around at all, but it's, I like doing this on pay-per-view because they did it at the arena, obviously, but I think they wanted to get it across to the larger audience that they're done. So this is good. Del Norte is good in this role too. Kind of show off a bit. He can hang, but put guys over. He's at the lower end of the revamped mid card. So Jenny went 2¾. Again, I really like the direction of Guido and us. And of course, you know, so far we've had Balls Mahoney, Big Sal, it's Asprey all night long here.
Yeah, this makes me sad, you know, because it feels very official, you know, that they're done. And that kind of sucks a little bit. But Guido is good at this. I wish he wouldn't jaw with the crowd so much. Mm. You know, it makes him seem immature and, you know, unfocused, and especially in this match. Like, look, this guy's Del Norte is kind of a big dude. Like, you need to be focused on him. And, but yeah, he works. He works hard. I like their chemistry together. I like some of the spots. That table spot with Big Sal is good. And I did 2½, Maddie.
Yeah, I went 2½ on this too. Fun match. The big spot, obviously, with Sal just fucking crushing him through the Norte through the table was just brutal. Good Lord. Just, yeah. So, I mean, it's a fun match. I like that they kind of, because they mentioned they did the FBI split in the arena. So I like that they kind of redid it again on review. That sense, because they didn't show it at all on Hardcore TV when they said that the FBI split. I was like, what? Wait, did I miss something? I went back and looked through my notes. It's like, oh shit. So I like that they did it again here. And yeah, I mean, this is just a good solid match. Both these guys are really good at going out there and just killing, you know, 5-6 minutes of TV or pay-per-view, and that's what this was. So 2½ for me. Fun stuff.
All right. We head right back to the ring as business is about to pick up, as Rob Van Dam is set to defend the TV title against Jerry Lynn. Lynn comes to the ring, his biggest match in ECW to date, back from his busted pelvis and his other injuries. Joey says Lynn has always been undervalued in WCW and WWF and maybe even ECW until now. Van Dam hits the ring with Fonzie. He's got his gold. He's as cool as ever. Joey says many fans on the website think this is a lock for RVD, but he thinks Lynn is going to win and be crowned tonight. We get some chain work, some pin covers. We amp up with a quick series of counters and reversals. RVD counters the leapfrog to an atomic drop, pulls up with a clothesline, sends RVD to the floor. We reset again as Lynn drops a leg, knocks RVD right back outside. Lynn follows, this time as a somersault plancha. He knocks RVD into the crowd, meets him with a springboard cross body block. RVD hammers away. Lynn drop kicks him to the floor, hard into the railing to counter a springboard. RVD recovers. He drapes Lynn on the railing, barrels into him with a somersault leg drop. RVD flies off the railing into the crowd with a springboard plancha, drags Lynn back, lays him on the apron, hits a springboard leg drop off the railing. Back inside, RVD stomps away, targets the back, gets a backbreaker and a surfboard for two count. Lynn counters a chair shot with a sunset flip powerbomb for two. That goes to a back and forth ending with an RVD atomic drop. Lynn counters with the Northern Lights with a reverse DDT on the chair for two. Fonzie gets on the apron with a chair. After a quick set of reversals, Lynn spikes him on it for two. Lynn goes up top with a chair, but RVD slugs away after Fonzie slows him down. They're still on top as Lynn smacks RVD with a chair. RVD stays up as the Van Damminator, knocks Lynn to the floor. RVD drags him back inside, but Lynn kicks out. RVD power slams Lynn, puts him on the chair, tries to split-legged moonsault, but Lynn gets the knees up with the chair to block. RVD breaks a sunset flip with a chair shot. We get a flurry of quick near falls. Lynn gets a nasty bridging German for two. Flips RVD to the apron, heads up top, comes off hard. It's a tornado DDT onto a table at ringside that doesn't break. Just a grueling bump. Back inside, Lynn floats out of a suplex, but RVD blocks the Northern Lights, hits a hard clothesline. Both guys are starting to slow down a bit as RVD keeps trying to finish him off. Lynn gets another tornado DDT as he blocks the Northern Lights, but only gets two. The bell suddenly rings to boos, and everyone is a bit surprised as we hit the time limit. The crowd is not pleased. Lynn wants 5 more minutes. Referee John Finnegan tries to give him the belt, but he says it's his decision who wins, and he believes Lynn is the winner. Lynn says he wants to win decisively. He wants no controversy, and RVD says it's his belt. They argue. The bell sounds. We restart. Lynn hits the drop kick and a big pile driver for 2. RVD blocks a charge with a boot. Fonzie throws a chair at Lynn for an RVD Van Damnator and finishes with a fantastic, phenomenal 5-star frog splash to retain the belt. All right, so great match. Both guys went all out, a mix of high-flying, hard-hitting ground game, a lot of counters that show that Lynn was prepared. The crowd was engaged, as good as it gets. Lynn is on the rise. This was a confident breakout performance. RVD is amazing in this reign. A new rivalry is born, but I hated this finish. I thought it was silly. I thought they overthought things. When has this ever been established that a referee can pick a winner? It makes no sense. No sense.
Yeah.
Especially after they talked all about the stupid Holyfield thing, about how they don't just have like assumed draws, and like, it just made no sense. If they eliminate that stupidity and go right to the final sequence, this is an awesome finish. Mm-hmm. And the match itself made Lynn, like, he didn't need to get protected with like a fake finish that no one believes anyway. Like, just do the tough luck loss. Like, RVD is unbeatable. Like, it's fine. So I went 3 3/4. The match was awesome, Matt, but I did not like the angle at all. The only thing I could have said is if maybe they did something like, we're going to have judges at ringside to ensure, like maybe do something on TV where they have a weird draw, so they're going to have judges at ringside and then the judges want to award him the title because they're scoring it. But to have the ref to suddenly decide he could pick a winner, like, none of that made sense in any way.
Yeah, I'm with you on the finish. I thought it took away from the match a little bit, but I mean, I still went 4 stars on it because it's still just fucking great. Like, the moves they're hitting each other with and just how smooth and fluid everything looks. It's fantastic. They wrestled each other, like, I think once before on like a random TV that was really good, but I think this was better than that. Just awesome stuff. The DDTs and just the reversals and like too much to fucking write down for notes. Like, good Lord, just it's awesome. But I'm with you. You didn't need the time limit finish here at all. Just give Lynn, like you said, a hard luck loss or something like that. And the fact that they don't even really, like, the bell just rings out of nowhere. They don't even like say, hey, there's like, you know, up 2 minutes left or anything like that. It's like there's a move. I don't even remember what the move was. It was like a DDT or something. And then the bell just rings. So that didn't help it. What was already not a great finish, the fact that they didn't telegraph it or anything certainly didn't help either. But the match, honestly, is just so good that even with the shit finish, it's still like a fantastic match. So I went 4 stars. I mean, I'm assuming you're probably going to get a rematch at some point, if not on TV, on a pay-per-view. So, you know, maybe the rematch, they do something different, like, kind of to your point, maybe they do a judge's thing so you don't leave it in the hands of the shithead referee to decide the winner or something like that.
Or just say the belt can change on a count out. Right. And he wins by count out or something like that. And then he's like, I don't want it that way or whatever. Or maybe like RVD bangs his head and gets knocked silly and the ref says, I'm going to stop the match. And Lynn's like, no, like, let him get back to his feet or something. Like, and then you can show that Lynn's a competitor.
Right. You know? There's a better way to get to a rematch than what they did here.
Yeah,
for sure. So, I mean, it's an awesome match though. It's fantastic. And so 4 stars for me, Jenny.
Yeah.
I did the 4 as well. I was just so in love with the match by the time that we got to that fuckery that I overlooked it a lot. And you could see the part in the match where they're starting to slow down. And to me, in a quote-unquote normal match, I could see the ref calling it, right? But we just don't do that in ECW. It just didn't fit. But I could... It makes sense, like, that they did it. I just didn't want the time limit draw, period. So whatever it took to get beyond that was fine with me. I love that the crowd was so into it that they just begged for 5 more minutes. And I love Jerry Lynn also asking for the 5 more minutes because he did not want to win the match that way. And then RVD just really put the nail in the coffin at the end with the Van Damnator, and that fucking frog splash looked incredible. The way that they hit, the way that he hit those finishing moves kind of took some of the sting off of the fuckery in the middle. for me. So that's how I felt about it. And I am tempted to rate it even higher just based on the wrestling, but I'm going to stick with my 4 stars. I love the handshake at the end as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really well done.
So we know we're not done with these guys.
Right.
The one thing that positive, I guess, from that stupid finish. All right, we get a hype package for our main event. And then Joey's in the nest. He says, Jasmine St. Clair hoped to make a big impact earlier tonight, but it didn't quite work out. We head back to earlier where fucking Mr. Wright is still around, apparently. Was in the ring. He proclaimed Jasmine to be the new queen of wrestling. Francine comes out, gets in her face, and triggers a catfight. And Francine kicks the shit out of Jasmine and Wright and struts off. And Joey hopes that this is the end of Mr. Wright and Jasmine St. Clair in ECW. Any quick thoughts on that, brouhaha?
I thought Francine was awesome. Like, am I wrong?
No, yeah, she was great.
She's been good.
They're doing all they can with Shane kind of fading and the triple threat, like to kind of start. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're prepping her to do different things with him because mm-hmm. it's obvious like he's kind of on his last leg. So, yeah, it's as good a use as any to beat up a porn star. So,
she's like the female Sid of ECW now.
Yeah. No.
I loved it.
I can't believe Lance Wright is still here and we're still dealing with that chuckle fuck in early 99. What are we doing?
He's just around to get his balls kicked. So yeah, that's fine.
That's probably his kink. Mm.
You never know. Never know. I just hope, like, we'll see where Francine ends up because I don't want it to be like a sunny WWF 97 situation where like they didn't do anything with her and she's just like doing random stuff for no reason. So we'll see if they reassign her talents. To the ring we go for our big feud is New Jack takes on Mr. Mustafa. Mustafa comes to the ring for war between his old partners here. New Jack comes out. He's got a trash can full of weapons, throws it in the ring. We're off and running. Of course, now Triple One Killers is blaring. New Jack unloads some weapon shots right away. Mustafa's staggering around. New Jack just obliterates him, puts a road sign on his nuts, smashes it with a golf club. Mustafa tries to beg off, but New Jack mimes jerking off and then kicks him in the head. Mustafa goes low with a headbutt, uses a toy lawnmower over the head. Mustafa takes his turn now, beating on New Jack with weapons. New Jack recovers, smashes Mustafa with a guitar, splits instead of breaking, so he grabs it back, and this time breaks it over him. New Jack is bleeding. Mustafa goes low with a right hand, head outside. They stumble, brawl out there, head toward the entrance of the building. Mustafa throws New Jack into a wall, hammers away, hits him with a chair. New Jack comes back with a heavy chair shot that has Mustafa rattled. New Jack sets up a table. He puts Mustafa on it, tapes him down, and scales the balcony. New Jack flies off and buries Mustafa with a wild spot. A repeat of last year, basically. Mm-hmm. Just a complete madman. Both men are dead. The doctors come out to clean things up. They help both guys to the ring, and New Jack just covers and wins. And this is what you'd expect. I mean, all weapons, all hate. Big-time finishing spot. They kept it tight. It wasn't drawn out. Not a lot of walk brawling. Just two guys that hate each other. They beat each other to oblivion, and then we get a big spot to end it. And it really was more about destruction than a pinfall. But I like that they let New Jack still get the win. It didn't end it with like them getting carted out from the table. So it's cool that they gave him his moment. So 2.5 stars, Jenny, in the match. Talk about that. Then we'll get it because we get a lot from here, the post-match and then another match. So what did you think of this, though?
I thought it was better than it had any right to be, really, for what – I mean, it was what we were expecting, but, like, I just think – better than I was expecting. He didn't bring just a garbage can out. He brought one of those big motherfucking rolling garbage cans out, full of cool weapons. We got to see the keyboard, the little toy lawnmower. That was awesome. Crazy weapons brawl, just like I wanted to see it. I love him taping Mustafa to the table.
So you wanted no doubt.
Because I wondered. I was like, okay, obviously he's going to jump off that balcony. How is he going to keep him on the table? And then he starts wrapping him up with the electrical tape. Like, that is genius. I love that. I don't think I've ever seen anybody do that before. More people should do that. I loved it. I thought it was great. That dive is fucking crazy. He's such a madman. So I did 2.75 on this one, Matt.
Yeah, I went 2.5 on it. I mean, the match itself was what we expected it was going to be, what we thought it was going to be, but holy Christ, that dive is nuts. I mean, and the fact that, like, imagine being one of those people, like, underneath the dive.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking looking up, and here's New Jack just
We were that person at GCW. In Detroit,
that is.
I came overhead.
Jesus Christ. Like, good Lord. But, yeah, I mean, the match was what we expect. And I love, too, that the security guard is just lugging, the security is just lugging both of these guys back to the ring. And then the match just ends. Which is just perfect. It's
perfect.
Like, you can't do something else, anything else after that fucking.
Yeah,
round.
I'm glad they didn't do some stupid kick out and keep going. Yeah.
That was my fear when they were going to bring him back to the ring. It's like, oh, there's going to be like a splash or just something to kind of one thing too many, like we've talked about before.
And the question is this it for Mustafa too? Like, I mean, this was like an evisceration. So is he going to stick around, or is this like a 1 month kind of return from Mustafa, pay the feud off, and we're done?
I feel like it's kind of tough to come back from the beating he took.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
So, I mean, I went 2.5 on it, so fun stuff.
All right, the Dudleys come out, they beat down New Jack. New Jack refuses to stay down, he spits at Bubba. The Dudleys drag New Jack up, and Gertner and Sign Guy slap him around. They sling him to the ramp. Some of the locker room comes out to check on New Jack as Gertner gets the mic. He quotes Big Punisher and says all the Asbury bitches can sit on his pelvis and feel the shit that killed Elvis, and then hypes up himself more and the Dudleys as well. Bubba says New Jack is old news. He'll beat every fan's ass just like they did to New Jack. Bubba says it's typical of ECW not to have a team brave enough to face the motherfucking Dudley boys, so they're going to lay down an open challenge to any two men with the guts and nuts to enter the ring. Mustafa may legit be dying in the corner as this is going on. Like, no one is checking on him at all. They'll let him bleed out in the corner.
Hell, fuck you. That's why.
Yeah.
Highway to Hell fires up. Out comes Spike Dudley and Nova. And it looks like we have a match. So any quick thoughts, Jenny, on that post-match before we get to our next match here?
Guts and nuts is a really cool little phrase. This is good. Joel's good, of course, on the mic, as always. Matt, did you get any of his little quotes there?
I had the pelvis Elvis line, and then the only other thing he said was, Mama said knock you out, and I just did.
There you go. And, of course, he had the big pun, which is
he's not a very player. Timely, he just crushes a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Which is very timely, because he was performing at the WrestleMania 15 Rage Party right around the time, probably the next week.
With Isaac Hayes singing the Chocolate Salty Balls song from
My God, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a great.
It's on YouTube. Idea. Look it up.
Jesus.
I remember watching that live in my dorm room. Anyway, so. All right, here's the match. The Dudley boys take on Spike Dudley and Nova. The Dudleys pummel their brother and his pal right away using leftover weapons. Bubba press slams Spike right into the front row. He gets crowd surfed. The Dudleys double up on Nova. Sign Guy has a sign that Bubba lost 30 pounds as he hits a powerbomb off the top rope onto Nova. They hit the 3D on Nova. Income officials and Bob Ortiz. Joey says Ortiz is friends with Nova. He's random friends. It was like, who was it, Tommy? And who was the guy that was his buddy randomly one time? Do you remember? It was like a random dude. Was it, who the fuck was it? It wasn't Spicoli. That was the thing. But it was someone else. I thought it was Tommy. I don't,
Paul Varlins. I don't know.
No, it was someone else.
Ramblin' Rod Price.
No. Remember, it was way back where suddenly it was like Tommy and this guy were like his mentor or something. It was never talked about anywhere else. It was just suddenly this supposed to be like close friends. It was something. It got beat up. I forgot what the hell it was. But anyway, it reminded me of that. Like suddenly Bob Ortiz and Nova are friends. So, of course, Bubba grabs Ortiz. They take him out with a 3D. Bubba gets the mic. He says, there's nobody left. And Joey says, they may be right. Bubba says, they've destroyed all the heroes that the fans look up to. They've all fallen victim to the 3D. Bubba calls the fans white trash. He says they're people with no heart. And since nobody's in the back, maybe a fan wants a shot at them. Or does no one have the guts or be tough enough to get in the ring? Bubba drops the mic and Joey says it's enough for enough. They've embarrassed themselves. And of course, right on cue, speaking of embarrassments, here comes Judge Jeff Jones. Comes out with a stretcher. He's ranting to the fans. Says he's bringing Sid to Living Dangerously. Jones points to the entrance and out comes Sid to a massive pop. He's barking at the Dudleys. He stalks to the ring. Bubba calls him a big, dumb, blonde F-word. Gets right in Sid's face and says he thinks he's the fucking man and such a psycho and so vicious. Devon steps to Sid, but he starts to panic a little bit. And even Bubba backs off. Sid sets up a powerbomb. Bubba makes a save. They double up and beat him down while they're talking shit. Jones and the crowd rally Sid. He eventually fights to his feet and hits a double choke slam. Sid drops Devon with the powerbomb. He throws him into the stretcher. Sid follows, puts him on it, and chokes away. is he's kind of waiting for some kind of cue. That's obvious.
Yeah.
Spike, he's very clearly standing there. Spike returns. He's fighting off Bubba. He slugs Devon off the stretcher. He hits Bubba with a guillotine leg drop. Sid slams the stretcher on top of Devon. Spike kicks him low, hits an acid drop. And Spike and Nova win the match. Spike wants to celebrate, but Sid powerbombs him in the ring and then off the ramp through a table. So look, it was basically a segment. Gives Sid something to do more than usual. Gives Spike a moment. The Dudleys are pretty bulletproof, and this was clearly just like mayhem. Sid's a monster. The crowd loved it. Some good spots in there. So I went 2.5 for the whole shebang, Matt.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 2.5. I called the whole thing an entertaining mess. And I think that kind of describes it pretty well. Good God, it's did an ECW, man. Like, give me all.
Yes.
It's just super fucking entertaining. The stretcher, the powerbomb to Spike through the table was fucking nasty. Like, good God, Spike is like, somehow that's the worst bump Spike's ever taken. Yeah. All the shit he's done. Like, fuck, that was brutal. And, Spike Dudley died for our sins. But, man, yeah, so. Like you said, the Dudleys are kind of bulletproof, so they can afford to do just a random one-off thing like this. And just give me more Sid beating the fuck out of everybody on the roster. So 2.5, Jenny.
Except for Lil Spike. Look, he didn't have to go that hard on Lil Spike.
I mean,
no one's safe. He's psycho.
I mean,
right.
As soon as I saw that stretcher coming out, I was like, oh boy, somebody's about to get fucked up. And boy, Devon got so fucked up on that stretcher. That was great. The Dudley boys just like pivoting right away from New Jack right. Mustafa, like just going off. I guess they got all their money that they needed, or they assume Mustafa's dead now, so he will not be handing out any more money.
No longer benefactoring.
Yeah, so they're just kind of pivoting to do this. They seem a little lost, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, they don't have much going on.
So curious to see what little niche that they find themselves in next. So I did 2.5 for all of this.
There's something about Sid coming out to silence, but it would have been really cool if he used Psycho Killer as he came out.
Oh yes, man. Yeah, that would have been good.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
it's kind of a rare miss, I think, for ECW. I mean, the silence is cool too because he's such a monster, but
no.
All right, we got a hype package for our next match, and that is our big tag team war between Shane Douglas and Tommy Dreamer and Justin Credible and Lance Storm. Credible and Storm hit the ring with Beulah Bitch. Jason has a neck collar on, the unnamed woman. Credible's rocking a franchise shirt. They have some great heat on them. Just a perfect street gang. Dreamer, Douglas, and Francine come out next to a big pop. It's a huge tag grudge match. We get all the intros. Storm starts with Tommy, lands some strikes. Tommy rallies the Storm Incredible stooge around. Tommy gets a neck breaker on Storm. He tags Shane, who does a nice inverted neck snap. Credible comes in. Shane hammers at him. He gets the rolling suplexes. Shane and Credible trade chops. So Credible gets a hard clothesline. He heads up top. Shane catches him with a pancake. Tommy's in. He gets 2 on a sidewalk slam. It's a spine buster. Goes through an abdominal stretch. Shane and Storm come in. Shane press slams Storm into Credible while in the hold, which just looked nasty. Shane and clobbers Credible. Storm kicks him from the apron. Credible lands a sidekick. They get to work with double teaming and quick tags. They keep Shane trapped. Credible talks some shit. He chops away. Shane gets a back suplex on Storm, but he can't make the tag, so he gets worked over. Credible eventually misses a baseball slide. He hits into the post. Tommy gets a tag. He cuts through Credible, knocking him to the floor. Storm meets Tommy with a pescado, but Shane follows and shoots him to the railing, crotches him on the post. Shane says he wants Credible and chokes away as Tommy and Storm go back inside. Tommy gets a power slam for two. It's a Dreamer driver for another near fall. Credible breaks away from Shane as Storm takes over. Storm stomps away as the crowd and Francine try to rally Tommy. We get more double teams and quick tags. Tommy's in the soup. The crowd chants dirty pussy at Beulah. Credible hooks a chin lock. Tommy breaks with a jawbreaker but can't escape until Storm before Storm grabs him back. Tommy punches free again, but Storm cuts him off with a leg lariat. Tommy crawls to the ramp. Storm and Credible follow and suplex him out there. Back inside, Tommy finally finds an opening, hits a cutter on Credible off the middle rope, makes a tag to silence. Shane comes in and cleans house, teasing a double cross. Beulah comes in, hits a low blow on Shane. That brings in Fran for a cat fight. Storm breaks that up and shoves Francine to the ramp. All four guys are fighting in the ring as Francine drags a ladder down, gives it to Tommy. Tommy puts Credible on his shoulders and spikes him with a ladder, which flops to the floor. Shane gets 2 on a frog splash, a Storm. Tommy brings the ladder back in. He seesaws it into Credible. Shane hits Storm with a gourd buster, and Tommy DDTs Credible into Storm's crotch. Shane hits a belly-to-belly Incredible for two. Credible grabs a cane. He lines up, but Francine blocks it, kicks him in the head, and Shane hits him with the Pittsburgh plunge to win the match. This is a little bit weird, honestly. It was lacking the violence and heat you thought it would have. Shane is very quiet. He's not as intense. I don't know what's going on. If he's just cashed out, if he's so hurt, he can't do much. But this is one where I thought the arena or Queens really could have carried it. And the larger venue, even though Asbury is a pretty good crowd for them, it hurt it a little bit. The structure, again, was fine for the tag. But this really screamed for something violent and chaotic. Maybe they didn't want to do that because we just had it with New Jack and Mustafa. But having a classic tag structure did not suit what this feud has been.
Agree.
So I thought they picked up at the end. They gave a lot of time. It's just the tension didn't click to the very finish. So I like Fran getting the revenge on Credible. That was cool. And again, it was a good match, not great. So Jenny went 3.25 on a match that in the arena, this is probably like 3.75, right? The crowd is revved up probably and they feed off of it. But in this, like when Shane got that hot tag and the crowd was dead, I was like, dead. Oh man,
yep.
This thing is dying quickly.
I noticed that too. I thought, where's the pop for Shane? But yeah, it was missing something for me. They shouldn't have, you know, had all the entrances and all that stuff. They should have just started fucking fighting. I know we just had a big weapons brawl, but you know,
it's we talked different. About this in another time too with Tommy. Yeah. I forget what street it was, but it was the same thing where he came out and was like standing on the ground on the floor. We did intros, waited for Sandman to come out. I don't know if it was them or the Dudleys. I forget what it was, but it should have been like an angry fight instead of like them. Yeah, waiting for intros.
I thought that Shane and Tommy got in more offense than I thought they would. I honestly thought that Credible and Storm were going to be dominating throughout most of the match, but the boys got in a good amount of offense on them. They got overwhelmed towards the end, but I love Fran bringing the ladder down and helping out to get the win. And I love that Shane got the pin. But this was well worked. The crowd was into it. It was just missing something that, I don't know. I can't see a misstep in the feud, really, or the build to it. There's just something off about this match. So I did 3.25, Matt.
It was a structure. It should have been a hot brawl.
Yep.
Yep.
You guys basically nailed every one of my points. Like I went 3 stars on it, and honestly I almost went lower on it because it's a weird match and it kind of bugged the hell out of me, which is weird to say about a 3-star match, I realize now. But like, this needed to be a knockdown drag out fight. The feud and everything before that, they hit Francine with a cane and you're trading wrestling holds, like,
right.
And they're talking shit about Beulah with a broken neck. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, there's a lot of heat here.
Right, and you're trading wrestling holds, and it doesn't fit. The match doesn't fit the story that came before it. Now, that being said, in a vacuum, it's a good match. It's a 3-star match, but when you're watching everything like we're doing here, this just does not make a whole lot of sense. I did like the finish. Once it finally got a little bit of violence, it got good, but man, it took forever to get there. So, I mean, I went 3 stars on it, and it's a very disappointing 3-star match for me, given what came before it.
Yeah. It just needed more anger. It needed, and the crowd felt it. I mean, the crowd was aware of it too, because like I said, they were silent right through there. So,
or like throw a stip on it, put it in a cage, make it falls count anywhere, just something to add a little bit of juice to it.
Yeah. I don't know if they knew that Shane was almost done at this point, but they should have done a major injury angle.
I wonder.
Credible and Storm, like really destroying them. And Tommy not being able to save him. I think like that could have been good. So, all right. So as we're not done yet, as Shane, Tommy and Francine are leaving, Don Callis shows up on the ramp. Joey says Lord. He calls himself Cyrus, and Joey thinks he's a virus. Cyrus pulls Francine away. A storm flies off the top into Shane and Tommy with a clothesline. Cyrus gets a little handsy with Francine. It's Credible and Storm beat the piss out of Shane and Tommy with the cane. Francine tries to help, but Cyrus stops her, stops Credible from caning her. Jason then chokes Francine, and Cyrus covers her crotch with his jacket, and after teasing, helping her, drops a headbutt on her vagina. Cyrus leaves as Credible, Storm, Jason, the unnamed woman, and Beulah Bitch all celebrates. So this feud is continuing on some level. Looks like Cyrus may be aligned with this group. We'll see. It's a weird little approach for this, Jenny, but we'll see where it goes.
I hated all of this. I really hated all of this. Like, a headbutt on a vagina?
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Who are you? And that's the fucking Queen of Extreme. So show some fucking respect. I got hot at the end of this. I hated it.
It's a weird way to introduce Don Callis into a promotion. First, he talks about Bosnia for 7 minutes last week, and now he's headbutting Francine in the vagina. Like, what the fuck are we doing? It's just super weird.
Yeah, it was odd. I like Callis. You know, we'll see where it goes, but it's definitely weird.
I love Don Callis, but this ain't it.
Yeah, it's an odd. It makes sense for him to be with Storm, too, because of the Canadian stuff. So, I mean, we'll see if that's where they go with it. I don't know. All right, Joey shows highlights of the match we've seen RVD and Lynn from earlier. Prazak is with John Finnegan backstage. There's rumors of controversial decisions. Finnegan says in his eyes, Lynn was the clear winner, and he was going to give him the belt. Prazak says no one has ever won that way. And Finnegan says this is ECW. The fans want a winner, not like Holyfield Lewis. Prazak says that's an interesting precedent to set. RVD comes in and says Lynn didn't almost win. He was great and at his finest, but RVD said Lynn is one of the two greatest athletes in the ring, but he wasn't the best. If Lynn thinks he was robbed, RVD will take his usual approach. He told Paulie long ago he doesn't care about bullshit storylines. He can forget about hating each other. RVD just wants to wrestle and be appreciated. Lynn gives him his best matches, so RVD is challenging Lynn to come get him again at the next pay-per-view Hardcore Heaven and push him to his limits. RVD says the fans will always get their money's worth, and Mr. PPV is the people's choice. So this is a good way to set up the rematch. Mm-hmm. They could have done all this without the stupid finish and just have like Prazak interviewing some wrestlers backstage, and they're all like, Lynn had him beat. Lynn should have won them, had him pinned. Maybe RVD got his foot on the rope, like something. And RVD takes offense to it and says, fuck it. Fuck you all. I'll prove to you I can beat this guy again. Mm-hmm. And then he issues the challenge. All this really was, when you look at it at the end, it was less about Lynn and more about taking a piss on Holyfield Lewis, which they've had a hard on for weeks.
Right.
By this point, it's clear that they were just trying to mimic that and spoof it. Do that shit with an undercard match, not this.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yep. Just it's the whole thing is I'm glad that RVD challenged Lynn. Like, I like that part of it, like you said, but good God, like they mentioned Holyfield Lewis like seven times on this show. It's like, all right, we get it.
Yeah. So annoying.
They're obsessed with it. It's weird. I know it was a big story at the time, but it's like, I don't know, they're leaning in on it so much. And again,
maybe they don't have any other ideas.
I mean, we just named off like 10 of them, you know what I mean? Like, and they're more in the moment than we are. I would have just like, if you had to spoof the Holyfield thing, just do it with like Guido and Antifaz and have Sal do so, like, do something like that. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Use it on an undercard comedy match. Not
have Tommy Rich bite Guido's ear off. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, don't do it in the match you're hyping is like the must see of the pay-per-view, you know?
Right.
All right, main event time, Sabu versus Taz, FTW title versus ECW world title. Sabu's out with Fonzie, he's got the tag belt, he's got the fuck the world title, and his jaw is taped. We see footage from North Carolina where Taz busted his jaw at the hard clothesline. That move also tore tendons in Taz's bicep. Taz talks out with his title, he's locked in, he's stoic. We get the intros, we get some more setup, Taz is talking shit. He talks about the fans waiting in the rain and thinks this is not only a unified title match, but an extreme death match, falls count anywhere. Fonzie coaches up Sabu about protecting his jaw. Sabu shoves him down and goes right at Taz. We get some chain work, some hard strikes. Taz unloads a stiff crossface to the jaw, kicks him hard in the head. Sabu rallies back, gets two on a slingshot leg drop. Sabu hits air Sabu as Taz bails outside. Sabu barrels into him with a baseball slide. He dumps Taz into the fans. He beats him with a springboard plancha. Taz gets up a chair and swats him down. They start to brawl through the crowd. Taz hits Sabu with the chairs and make their way back to the ring. Sabu shoots Taz into the railing. He hops on the ramp, flies back down with a dive. Sabu shoves Taz onto the ramp, but Taz stomps and slings Sabu to the fans. They head back inside where Sabu kicks Taz hard in the face. Taz stops him, sends him over the top of the belly to belly through a table bridge in a wild bump. They take out a cameraman in the process. Taz hotshots Sabu to the railing, slugs him at the jaw, calls out Flair at Hogan and says at least Sabu has balls. Sabu hooks Taz's eye and throws a chair at him as we go back to the ring. Sabu's bleeding from the mouth. We head to the ramp. Taz throws him back down off the railing, into the railing. Fonzie throws a chair at Taz. Taz gets pissed and socks him to the back. Back of the ring, Sabu rallies, hooks a brief Campbell clutch. He sets up a table. Taz puts Sabu on it. Sabu rolls off and takes Taz off the top of the Rana. Taz counters Zorano with a powerbomb. We spill back outside. They brawl out there. Sabu hits an Arabian powerbomb, gets caught in the railing, and they collapse down. Sabu puts Taz on a table bridge, flies off the top with a splash. Another crazy spot. Back inside, Taz hits a pump handle Tazplex for two. Sabu slaps Taz with a chair, hits a triple jump moonsault for a near fall. Both guys are barely hanging on here. Taz gets a head and arm Tazplex. He spikes Sabu on a chair. Sabu comes back with a triple jump leg drop. Taz counters a punch into a Tazplex, hits a super belly to belly. Sabu is clutching his jaw as Taz sets up a table in the corner, crunches him through it with a dragon suplex at six spot. Fonzie tosses in the towel. Sabu kicks it away. The ref ignores it. Taz looks at Taz's mission. Sabu tries to hang on, but he passes out, and Taz retains. Taz gets the mic. He says every time they wrestle, Taz earns even more respect for Sabu, and he wants to shake his hand. He's beckoning for him to stand up. It's not about belts, and he won't leave without a handshake. Sabu fights his way to his knees, and they shake hands. So a bit of a mixed reaction from the crowd. I thought this was great. I think it's the best match they've had easily. It was the most violent. It was stiff. It was messy. It felt like a war instead of them trying to force a classic like a barely legal. The jaw attack by Taz was fantastic. They kept things moving. The buzz in the crowd and the uncertainty around this, what was going to happen was good. Some insane spots. The anger was palpable. It was gritty and hard-hitting. I think it was believable that Sabu could maybe win because they've done these weird twists to Sabu throughout time here. And it's a great close to the show. It's been a grinding war. Both guys were exhausted. It was earned. It was a good finish with Sabu passing out. He gets protected a bit, but Taz looks strong. So it's a good way to do things. Just a warrior Sabu is as Taz Rain rolls along. So I went 4 1/4, Jenny. I really love this match. It surprised me because, again, I haven't been a fan of their past stuff as much as I thought I would. But this really hit.
It surprised me as well. It might be my favorite Taz match that we watched.
Yeah, I mean,
I might like it more than the Bigelow match just because it was so gritty. It was so sweaty and fucking bloody. Sabu's like a mummy. He's so wrapped up. but he just, you feel like he doesn't feel that stuff. Like, it's so uncanny the way that he wrestles. And Taz, I thought, looked really good. Like, step for step, in the past, I have not enjoyed Taz as much. But for this, I thought he really stepped up. And it was a huge moment for him to really put Sabu behind him. And this was the last time he was going to get to do that. And he put everything into this match. And Sabu did as well. I love Fonzie keep trying to throw in the towel and everybody just saying, fuck you, Fonzie. Yeah, no point in being here. But this was a huge battle. This crowd is so lucky to be able to see this match. Like, because they really did some cool crowd brawling in there too. I like the finish a lot too. It's the only way we could have done this is for him to just be tapped out. So 4 stars for me, Matt.
I'm right there with you. I went 4 stars on this too. For me, like you guys, it's the best Taz Sabu match. Just the way these guys were just throwing bombs at one another with the chairs, the table spots were fantastic. The crowd brawling was great. All the Tazplexes just looked sick in the way Sabu was selling them. Sabu basically doesn't have a jaw anymore because it just looked like an open wound when he was, and even like the forearms and the punch, just everything looked stiff as shit in this match. Taz's punches were brutal. So yeah, lived up to the hype, lived up to the expectation. The finish was great. Sabu passing out, I think that was the right way to do it. So yeah, for me, the best Taz Sabu match to date. So just a brutal match. So 4 stars for me.
All right, we got a recap music video that Joey narrates and we are out. So let's get to our awards. Best match for me was the main event, Sabu versus Taz.
Yep. Yeah, I think it is for me as well.
Worst match, I went Mahoney and Carino.
Yep.
I think that's where I landed as well.
All right, a few best moments. Sal's power slam was kind of forgotten on the night, but that looked awesome. New Jack's obviously, coming off the balcony. Yes. And then Taz with the belly to belly on Sabu through the table.
Yeah.
I think I got to go with New Jack.
I got to go with New Jack, too.
All right, most 90s, Don King and the Lewis Holyfield stuff. And yep. Jasmine St. Clair, of course. Yes.
What's your favorite Jasmine St. Clair movie?
Men in Black was pretty good.
Yeah. Deuteronomy 4:69.
That's my favorite too.
Leviticus.
She only did biblical themed movies.
Yeah. Except for Men in Black.
Right, yes. Right.
All right, stock rising. I went to Jerry, Super Crazy, Guido and Sal, Lynn, RVD, Sid, Taz, Sabu. A lot of winners tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
Falling Carino, the old FBI, John Finnegan, fuck that guy. Jasmine St. Clair, Mustafa Ortiz.
Don Callis, fuck that guy.
No.
I thought it was a fantastic pay-per-view. I really enjoyed it. Classic main event. RVD Lynn was great. Even the stuff we were a little down on was like still all really good. Like the tag, Super Crazy and Tajiri. It's like, you know, the floor is high. So I think you could imagine if a couple of those things hit that this may be an all-time pay-per-view. Like if the heat is there for that tag and if Super Crazy and Tajiri have like their best match, like 3¾ or something like that. Like there's a lot of things that could have really drove this up. And if RVD and Lynn doesn't have that stupid finish, that's three easy things that they could have fixed. Very doable. And this could have been maybe the highest pay-per-view they've ever done. As is, I went 8/10, which is still very strong. This is a recommended pay-per-view for me. I really, really dug it.
I struggled with grading this, even though I did enjoy it. There was stuff in there that I could just do without, just leave it. You know, the fixes that you mentioned. Some of the Dudley stuff, just leave it out. So, like, the runtime is, like, 2 hours, 45 minutes or some shit. So, I would maybe, like, cut that down a little bit.
I mean, that's pretty tight for a pay-per-view, though.
It is, but they seem to just be getting longer and longer. Like,
yeah. I guess they got to make it. I mean, some people fluff are paying in there now, so they got to at least fill it. But it's so also, I think, one of the tricky things is in this stretch is the roster has shrunk a little bit. Like, they don't really, like, there's no one that wasn't on this. Usually we could have named a few people. There's really no one that wasn't on the show that was, like, a viable pay-per-view.
Well, they all fucking left. So, yeah, the roster.
That's what I'm saying. So, it's like, they're kind of stretching some stuff because I think they're just thin on the roster. Like, versus in the past, we'd always be like, well, so-and-so could have been on the show. So
there was a stupid Dudley's video. There was several videos we could have done without in this show.
Again, I think they're just trying to fill the satellite time for the show. But
right.
I do think they could have they got to fix the tag division. To me, that's the biggest glaring gap because they've created a great tag team, Incredible and Storm, but they're almost on that RVD Sabu level where they feel above the division. Mm-hmm. And you have the Dudleys that also kind of feel above the division, and they have no one besides Rotten Balls like that's even in the realm of like challenging. So it's like it just feels like we keep going in the same circle with these teams.
Yeah.
And there's like no fresh, like we're so past the heyday of the great ECW tag stuff of the Gangsters, the Eliminators, you know, the Pit Bulls, like all that stuff is like feels like decades ago now.
Right.
And we're just Balls and Axel, the Dudleys, and then you have like RVD and Sabu and now Credible and Storm. I guess we had Storm and Candido for a bit, but it's like that felt the same way. It didn't feel like a real team.
Yeah, I don't guess we would count Tommy Dreamer and Shane as a team.
No, they're not. They're teaming, but they're not like going for the tag titles.
Even though they were in that random three-way. So anyway, all that is to say I'm giving it 8/10.
Yeah, I went 8/10 too. I mean, you had 2 4-star matches. Really nothing actively bad on the show. I mean, and Balls Carino was the worst thing, and it was like 3 minutes long. So 8/10.
Alrighty, so that'll do it for us. A great pay-per-view in the books. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be covering 4 weeks of television as we now set the path to our next pay-per-view, which will be Hardcore Heaven 1999. That'll be in a few episodes. Be sure to subscribe. Again, we ran down some of the content earlier, so check all of that out. Subscribe to North-South Connection across all social media so you won't miss anything because you don't want to miss anything audio or video. Any of the content we have coming at you for WrestleMania season. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, stay extreme. Yeah, bitch, you late ain't no witness, bitch, cause it's filling up.
from the floor to the ceiling up. The building ain't big enough. I'm backstage bouncing, adrenaline building up. The pussy cutter that I stutter. The heart flutter, make your woman dogs melt like butter. Down like now, hype.